Welcome, everyone, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast, where you'll hear the Christ Fellowship preaching team getting ready for Sunday morning. We'll talk through the sermon topic and pause a few times to hear directly from the Word of God. Our goal is to help you connect with the Bible and find hope and guidance for your life. I'm your host and women's pastor, Lisa Scheffler, along with Senior Pastor Bruce Miller and Senior Associate Pastor Jaime Gonzalez. Mark Wyatt is not able to be with us today. Well, this week we're learning how to smash our idol of entertainment. This is a good one and one that we probably all need to evaluate in our own lives. So, I don't like this one. This hits a little too close to home because I like my Netflix and I like my binge watching and all the other fun stuff. But as we've talked about, almost any good thing can become an idol if we don't use it right, if we don't have it in the proper perspective. So tell me, guys, why would you say entertainment can be an idol? Why would you spoil people's fun?
But Hulu isn't bad and Netflix isn't bad, right? Well, I think there's this sense of when we talk about entertainment, things that consume our mind, consume our time. We're going back to that original definition of what an idol is. An idol is something that we value, something that we trust, and something that we serve. And believe it or not, entertainment can be one of them where we are consumed by fulfilling our desires of either escaping boredom or trying to find peace from our anxiety. And so we'll look at entertaining options. What can entertain us? You know, the word diversion, or in Spanish, the word to have fun means that it comes from the word diversion, to turn from. And so you have this sense of, I feel bored or I'm anxious. Let me turn my attention away from that towards something else. And hopefully I can find relief. And so when it comes to entertainment, definitely we can find ourselves creeping into the areas of what valuing, trusting, and serving entertainment more than God.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to remember that idols are good things twisted. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are sinful things we can be involved in that are immoral on their surface. But we talked about alcohol, sexuality, things like that are good gifts from God. But we twist them into an idol. And I think that's the same with entertainment. We're not saying go smash your television or never go to a football game or never go watch a movie, something like that. That would be silly. But as Jaime said, there are questions to ask about what you trust in, what you value, what you serve. Where do you go to look to solve your problems, to find contentment? How do you deal with stress? How do you deal with anxiety? Not that it's wrong to go watch a movie to chill out, but it's how obsessed are we with that? How much do we do that? How much time does that take in our lives?
Mm-hmm. And we live in a culture that it's so prevalent. It's sort of like when we talked about pornography, it's just there at the touch of a button. I mean, no culture in history has ever had to deal with the temptation of entertainment and media the way we have, because it's on your phone. I mean, you know, you want to, I mean, I unfortunately had to get on my children because I found out they were watching The Office in class. And I was like, yeah, that's not why you're in class. And that's not why you have that phone. So I think it's like you were saying, it's a good thing that can be turned into a bad thing that we can become consumed by. And it's just so easy to indulge in. And so I think, Bruce, you were talking earlier about it. Part of what is sinful about that, or can be sinful about entertainment, is self-indulgence. You talk a little bit about what you meant by that.
Yeah, I think when the focus is not on serving God or serving someone else, but serving me, well, you have to be careful. And of course, a big moral point these days is take care of yourself. And the image is you need to put your oxygen on first in an airplane before you put it on someone else. And there's truth to that. There's a grain of truth. However, we take that way too far, and our focus is on taking care of me, and I'm number one, and I need to get my needs met, and I need to be happy. And my thought is, I'll be happy if I indulge in some form of entertainment that I think is going to make me happy, I'm going to escape anyway from reality, from all the pressures that are in my life. And yet it can take us away from saying being a mom or a dad, mm-hmm. and caring for our kids, because we're watching shows and we're just saying, you know, get out of my face. I'm going to watch my show, or or my sports, whatever it is. You know, just like you said, if it's impairing school for a student or at work, there are a lot of people that are watching entertainment during the workday. And are you really being faithful to your employer?
And I think we can get drawn into not just storied entertainment, because I think that's, you know, we think about television shows and movies and things like that, but some of this more immersive entertainment like video games. Mm-hmm. And I think you can really feel like you're entering in another world. And I know some of these big multiplayer online games, it's like a whole nother life. Like you have to do your chores in your video game every night, because you have to make sure you're maintaining your characters and their livestock or whatever. But it can become a whole nother world that you're escaping to. And so I think the question is, you know, it's kind of like with some of the other idols we've talked about, Bruce, where you've been really careful to help people say, okay, if you start to feel there might be a problem, or someone else in your life is going, hey, you're spending a lot of time doing that, then take them seriously and really take a look, not only at the amount of time, and it's not about necessarily setting limits or time limits, although that can be useful, but it's about really evaluating your motives. Like, why am I doing this? What am I trying to run from something in my real life? Am I trying to escape something in my real life that's painful or hard or difficult or something about myself I don't like, that is drawing me away, and it's just easier to live in this fantasy world?
I think, Jaime, your point about consuming, I was talking to a lady who said the father of her children is consumed by video games to the extent that he didn't want to quit playing when he went in the shower. So he put a screen in the shower that he could continue playing the video game. I think, you know, that's probably a sign of an obsession that's gone too far, or if you're playing it while you're driving.
How do you keep the controller from not getting wet? That's no.
I don't know. Jaime's like, I need to know. I can put it in a baggie, put in a plastic baggie.
Waterproof video gaming. It's probably a thing.
that's a lot. That's a lot of time and energy spent on it.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it impairing your relationship with other people, especially important ones like a marriage or your kids or a friendship that. You know, the classic, you're at the dinner table and you're not talking to each other. You're staring at your phone and you're engaged in whether it's news or a video game or something entertaining, some show you're watching. You're not engaging the people around you. But also we need to think vertically. And of course, it's quite convicting when any of us compares the amount of time we spend in entertainment to the time we spend with the Lord, the time we spend reading the Bible, praying, worshiping. And for most people, I'm sure that, you know, Lisa might be a super saint, not be in this category, but
clearly,
yeah. Most people spend far more time on entertainment than they do on worship or their time with God. You know,
it's funny, Bruce. You mentioned that Kyle Idle, is that last
name? Idleman.
In his book, God's at War, he talks when he talks about entertainment. He tells that story of, imagine if people were to tailgate to go to church.
Yeah.
You know, and show up hours early before worship service, and it's packed to the nosebleed section at the church sanctuary.
Wait for Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully we get overtime and we stay longer in church.
I think that was binging. People would tell me, yeah, I spent the weekend binging some show, and I'm like, how many episodes? Oh, I don't know. You know, like 24, or there was 5 seasons, and we spent the weekend doing that. I'm like, oh wow, interesting. What if you binged the Bible or binged time with God, and yet the thought of an entire day with God or 7 hours with God seems a little bit crazy to most people, and yet that could be so much more powerful in terms of dealing with stress, dealing with anxiety and fear and all the stuff escaping. You think, imagine escaping into God. And of course, he says he's our refuge, and trading 7 hours of binging a show with 7 hours with God.
Psalm 63, 1 through 8. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
What about, let's talk a little bit. We talked a little bit about storied entertainment, movies and television, talked about video games. I think another thing that has become very, very consuming in our modern age is news. I think yes. People can become particularly obsessed with sort of current events, right? And I think we would all agree, hey, it's good to be knowledgeable. It's good to know what's going on in the world. But there is a point at which, and particularly the way news is presented now, with it is designed to stir up an emotional response in you, right? I mean, they want clicks and eyeballs. And so they're going to write headlines and frame stories in such a way that it's going to cause a visceral response in you. And the more visceral, the better. Because if they can get your, you know, get you charged up and your emotions taking over, then you feel like you need to keep feeding that emotion, that outrage, that need to know. And so it's like, what are we really after if we're spending all day constantly checking the news or checking websites or scrolling through Twitter or whatever your source of news is, or having cable news on in the background all day long? What do you think that's doing to us in terms of our spiritual lives?
I think it's creating anxiety that we don't need to have. I was talking to someone who watches quite a bit or reads and ingests quite a bit of news. And he was saying, but I'm not sure why, and what can I do about it? Whereas if it's news, quote unquote, if there's something happening in your family's life or someone near you, you can comfort them, you can rejoice with them, grieve with them, provide practical support to them. But when it's things happening all over the world that you have no connection, now sometimes you have a connection to some other part of the world, but for most of us, we have no connection to the people going through some tragedy. We can certainly pray, but we can't practically get involved. So it's paralyzing and anxiety producing both. And so there's almost this mythical strange thought that I need to keep up with it, as if somehow I'm helping it happen. It's kind of like when you're watching a sports game, it's as if my cheering is gonna make, especially on television, I'm cheering at home and my team's gonna do better if I cheer louder. Mm-hmm. Even though we know that's irrational, there's something about that with news that I somehow feel responsible for. Mm-hmm. What's going on around the world, even though you bear no responsibility.
Well, and I think our culture really values information, and we tend to create information as, we think information is power. Like the more you know, I mean, remember the old G.I. Joe thing, knowing is half the battle, right? And in some contexts, that's absolutely 100% true. But in other contexts, it just makes us feel more helpless. Because
I think what's challenging is you mentioned that news is now 24/7. And it used to be a long time ago, you only got the news, you know, every a month or two of you'd get news, and then it was daily news in a newspaper, and then it was maybe twice a day. And now it is literally constant. And you feel like, gosh, if I didn't check it in the last hour, I'm behind.
Yeah.
And I think there's that fear of missing out, FOMO, that also applies to the news, that, hey, did you hear? Mm-hmm. Did you know? And you feel like, gosh, if I wasn't paying attention, I'm out of it. I'm somehow behind the times. Something's wrong with me.
And the news media, in order to fill that much time, has to constantly come at things from different angles and try to make things more controversial and more outrageous in order to get people to keep tuning. I mean, why would you keep tuning back in when you've already heard the story and nothing much has changed? So they have to somehow frame it in such a way that it feels like something new has happened and you need to know about it. And so they fuel outrage.
Reaction. Yeah. Yeah. Your emotional reaction then is outrage or fear or anxiety. Oh my gosh, the fires are coming to... You know, I was just reading about the fires in California today, and it's alarming. And I was getting upset reading about the fires in Lake Tahoe and looking at the pictures. And, you know, I've never been there. I don't know anybody there, but I was emotionally disturbed by the story.
Mm-hmm. And I think the best thing we can do in those moments is pray.
Yeah.
You know, when we hear about these things, pray and then shut down the app, right? Because you have done what God has called you to do. You have compassion on people. You care about what's happening and the lives that are being affected by tragedy around the world. So you can pray and ask God to intervene and ask for God's power in those moments to those people. And then you shut the app and you go on with your day because you've given it to the Father. You're like, well, you're the only one that can do anything about this. So I'm giving it to you. I'm releasing it. And I'm going to focus on the people in my immediate sphere, my neighbor down the street, my family, people that I can actually, like you were saying, Bruce, love, support, and provide practical help to. So yeah, I think we could all do with a little less media in general. You've talked to people that take media fast. They always seem to come back really happy they did it.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that one of the powers of our 21 days of prayer? Most of us take some type of media fast, social media fast. We're fasting something, and a lot of people choose media as one of them. And we hear those testimonies of, wow, this was awesome. 21 days without having to check Twitter or Facebook or news outlets.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there's power in putting these things in a proper place and focusing on the Lord.
And right now we've talked so far about being a media consumer, but here's the interesting thing about the day we live in right now is we are media producers. We all have the capability to put posts on Instagram, to film things, to put on Facebook if we want, to share articles and put commentary on these social media platforms. And so we also have to think about our responsibility as a media producer, as someone who's actually creating media. And what are we putting out in the world?
I also think the why behind that is important too, because there's a craving of fame that I'll be an influencer and that'll be amazing. And I'll build my platform or build my brand and I'll be a YouTube sensation. Cause you look at some of the people and you're thinking, are you kidding me? How many million people are watching that? And you think, well, surely then maybe I could get a million people to watch me do something more than unwrap a present,
you know? Or stand on a million milk crates. Isn't that the new one? The milk crate challenge is how many milk crates can you stand on? And people are getting hurt. Yeah. So
some
yeah,
funny ones. I've seen some funny ones, Lisa, on the Milk Creek Challenge.
Yeah. So I think that's just something, again, you have to think about why. And look, I think we all can feel it. Like if you've ever put a post out there that you were really thought was important, or you shared something on Facebook that, you know, was really meaningful to you, and then nobody liked it, you're like, oh.
Did anybody like it?
Did anybody like it? And then you go back and check, you know? And I think a lot of people fall into that category too, of like, oh, no one commented, no one put a little heart, you know, no one cared. And I think, look, I'm not one of those people that's anti-social media. I think you can use it. You know, people sometimes complain about their Twitter feeds and how toxic it is. And I'm like, well, you know, you control who you follow, you know, unless you're a big, well-known person that has millions of followers who reply to you. Most of the time you can control who you follow. So, and there's a lot of pastors and there's a lot of, you know, scholars and theologians and Christian writers and authors that are putting out some really good, inspiring, helpful stuff on these social media platforms. We have to be careful in what we consume. And that's true with all of it. Those are the things that we need to focus on because those are things that are going to be edifying to us.
Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
And that's where I think we need to come back and say it. We're not saying it's wrong to listen to audio podcasts or watch shows or look at social media. But to your point, Lisa, it's what's the content? And that verse, Philippians 4:8, is a great grid to apply to the content you're listening to. And what is it doing to you? Are you feeling more peaceful, more content, more satisfied in the Lord? Or is it stirring up anger and fear and frustration? That gives you a good hint that maybe you need to change the content of what you're ingesting.
A lot of teens, this is something that I talked with my boys, both of them 21 and 15. And I hear with young people, they'll say, I'm not paying attention to the content. It's just the like music. The words don't matter. It's just the music. Or the horror movie. It's okay. It's not, you know,
it's not real. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not real type thing, but is it really not having any effect at all whatsoever as you listen and consume that? I don't know about that one.
Yeah. It's that, you know, if you're constantly inundated and surrounded by something, it's going to have some effect eventually. And again, I'm not a alarmist when it comes to media. I think, you know, there's some good stuff out there that's expressions of truth, and there's expressions of problems. And I think sometimes, you know, cinema and media are powerful means of communication and of helping us see the world. I've learned a lot from movies I've watched or documentaries I've watched, and they've made me aware of things that I would have never known otherwise. So I'm grateful for that. But again, it's why are you doing it? How much are you doing it? And is it taking the place of God in your life?
I think, you know, circling back to maybe another piece is the concept of work or responsibility. We do have responsibilities in life of things we're supposed to take care of at our home, at our work, at our school. And this is a word that could be offensive to some folks, but I'll use the word laziness. And in Proverbs, there's quite a bit about hard work and laziness. And we would never want to use that word to describe ourselves, but sometimes we're avoiding the responsibilities that God's given us by watching a bunch of entertainment that, while it may not be terrible, like it may fit Philippians 4:8, it's fine. Sports, you know, it's fine. But if you spend all day watching sports on Saturday
and Sunday
and you don't mow the yard or you don't, you know, follow through with whatever other responsibility you have, whether that's family or work or something else, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so that's the idol of entertainment. And since this is closing out our series, I thought we'd just kind of do a rapid fire of other idols. I think, you know, I told Bruce when he designed this series, I was like, this could be 12 weeks long. We could definitely come up with other idols that we worship. So let's just do kind of around the circle here and talk a little bit about some of the other idols that we just want to kind of, you know, get people to think about.
Well, there's the idol of politics. Certainly we just came from a season where you were either this animal or that animal, right? My guy, your guy. And so much hope was placed on these candidates. It's placed on a presidential candidate, or, you know, and you're asking the conversations that are coming out, and to the point where you may even offend your brother, your sister, just to defend your guy, you know, your political view. And so there's this sense sometimes, I think, that we're putting hope that only belongs on the Lord onto our presidential candidate or our political affiliation. And nothing wrong with politics. Again, politics are good, and we thank God for our country, and it's the balance of the system that we have here. And because in other countries, the political system is even more crazy, more whacked, right? And mm-hmm. We're thankful for God, the political system that we have here in America, but it could also become easily an idol in our lives.
Mm-hmm. I think another one, that's something that's obviously good, clearly good, but we can make it an idol, is our children. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that in the suburbs, especially in the last 20, 30 years, we've made children an idol, and we have become obsessed with their success and living through them vicariously, whether that's sports or music or academics, that we want them to succeed. And the whole phenomena of sports and kids sports, select sports, and the amount of money and time that we'll devote to travel teams and all the gear and the uniforms. I know, Jaime, you guys have both been involved with that, your kids maybe more than I have more recently, but what do y'all think about that?
I definitely agree. I think that there have been many conversations when we've had to sit down with both of our boys and mom and dad ourselves, because we get wrapped up into it as parents, and ask the question, okay, why are we doing this? And our identity is not you're not a baseball player. That's not who you are. You're a child of God. That's reminding our boys the proper place of sports in them. And also, as parents, from the parent perspective, sometimes we live vicariously through our kids and we have to remind ourselves, no, that's wrong too. But seeing what giftings a child has and encouraging them in their giftings, right? But without it becoming an idol in their heart. So always ask, having those conversations with them and making sure that we're not substituting God with the idol of sports and select sports. It's huge here in North Texas, guys. Yeah. Well, select sports in North Texas is huge.
Yeah, it's a multi-million dollar industry, I'm sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, and my kids have learned a lot. I'm glad for the activities and the sports they were involved in. They learned a lot. They learned about, and I think, I mean, losing, they actually learn more from losing than winning.
Yeah.
You know, because trying your best and still failing and yet learning how to recover from that and learning how to say, okay, you know what? So I messed up on the field. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. That was clearly my fault. Maybe I even cost the team the game, but I'm still a child of God. I can still get up and keep moving forward because Christ is with me. And so I think those kind of lessons are invaluable to kids, but it's a balancing act at what cost, at what price. And if you're every weekend and every afternoon, and, you know, I know there was a season where all of my kids were in sports and, or activities, and Steve and I were going crazy. I was living in my car, just trying to get people to the right place.
We decided to make sure that this doesn't become an idol in our lives, that our boys would only play one sport per season. Mm-hmm. And we did at one time the multi-sport per season. And that is crazy. We almost, you know, killed each other trying to pull that off. And we're like, wait a minute, this is wrong. This is out of whack. And so we decided one sport per season, and then learning how to say no also.
Yes.
And the coach would tell us, well, he's going to fall behind if you don't play and this and that. And then we've also had to sit down with our boys too, when it comes to money too. Hey, we're spending this amount of money on sports. This other money is the Lord's. Our tithe, our offering is right there. It belongs to the Lord, and we're not going to use the money that belongs to the Lord to fund our trip to Florida to go play baseball or here, wherever we're going to go. Because our money also reveals where our idols are at.
For sure. Yeah. So that's good. So let's hit our steps again, one last time, guys, because this is the end of this sermon series. It's been a really good one. Walk us through our steps again.
Our first is reveal. We got to expose the idol. We've got to know it exists, reveal it, face it, and then repent, smash that idol. We're not to be gentle with our idols. And that was a key to revival in the Old Testament. Hezekiah and Josiah, is that they would smash the idols and then revere. These are three R's of smashing idols, but to reveal, repent, and revere the one true God. He calls us to worship him and him alone exclusively, no worship of anyone or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, there's an old sermon by a Puritan preacher called The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. And I don't know why that title has stuck with me, but there's something about that word expulsive that's just really vivid. Like you can see it in your mind. It's like expelling, throwing out, kicking off, you know, getting rid of, expulsive, almost like explosion, you know, blowing it up. But what allows you to do that is a new affection. And his point in the sermon, it's so funny, this was written so long ago, but he was like, you know, the problem is you get people to stop drinking and then they start gambling, you know. And you know, it's the same thing that we struggle with today, just we have more updated and sophisticated idols. But his point was, the way to break that cycle of just replacing one idol with another is to have a new affection for the Lord. And that your primary affection, if in the order of your loves, would be God at the top. And that the more and more that you love him, that you worship him, that you see him for who he is, and you recognize his grace in your life, and you recognize the joy of serving him and serving others, the easier it's going to be to cast off those idols, because you're going to see them as worthless and pointless. And so that's just an encouragement, is this is something that's going to be an ongoing thing, I think, for all of us. Because we're not going to finish the sermon series and I'll be idol free forever. But it's just continuing our walk with the Lord, continuing to grow in our knowledge of him, continuing to grow in our community of supporting one another and loving one another and helping one another cast off our idols is going to be absolutely critical. And so towards that end, Bruce, what's coming up next? Let's tease our next sermon series.
Yeah, we are going to be talking about experiencing Jesus Christ himself. We're going to be looking at the book in the New Testament that more than any other book highlights the supremacy of Jesus Christ.
And what book is that? Are you going to tell them?
I mean, what book is that?
Colossians.
Yeah, Colossians is, it's just four chapters, but it is just so rich with helping us understand Christ. And not just the man Jesus, but the full person of Jesus Christ, the God-man, Christ who is the eternal Son of the living God, who took on flesh and became Jesus, our Savior. And it is just, I think we will fall more in love with Christ and get to know him at a deeper level, which I believe will change our lives. Colossians is very practical in terms of the implications for our everyday lives and our homes and workplaces, starting out of a fresh, revitalized understanding of Jesus Christ himself.
So as we continue to want to work on our idols and smash those idols and reveal them and repent of them and revere God more, Colossians is going to help us. It's really a beautiful flow. All right, guys. Well, Jaime, will you close us out in some prayer? Just kind of thanking God for what he's done through this whole sermon series.
Would love to. And also remind everybody that this Sunday, as we conclude smashing idols, we are going to smash the car outside.
That's right.
So stay after second service and be ready to smash that car. We're going to smash it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this journey, for these past couple of weeks, 5 weeks that we've delved into the idols of our heart. We're thankful, Father, that you have brought a light to it, to these issues, to our heart, and allowed us to examine our hearts and repent of the idols that we've raised in our hearts, Lord. And thank you for allowing us in your grace and mercy to return to you, Father, and to renew our commitment to you, Father. Thankful for what you've done, Lord, and what you're going to do in this next series through the book of Colossians as we walk together as a church. Thankful, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, thank you guys, and we will see you next week.